This morning, our sermon is entitled, How to Remedy Spiritual Boredom in Your Life. Our scripture this morning comes from James chapter 1, verse 22. James wrote, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
You know, Paul and I really didn't think about the difference between holding that service out here wearing masks versus inside as we traditionally did. We probably should have had you raise your hands because we had no idea who was saying I do and who wasn't. I saw no evidence of moving lips. But just one of those things you think about afterwards. This summer, I have the deep privilege to teach my granddaughter, who's just a freshman in high school going into her sophomore year, to teach her two Shakespearean plays. You all know that I've been in education for over 30 some years, and I have done numerous years of teaching Shakespeare, so what a joy to be able to teach my granddaughter. But I will tell you that of all my years of teaching Shakespeare, and if you look at the prologue of Romeo and Juliet that begins with two households, both alike in dignity, in fair Verona where we lay our scene. By the end of that prologue, I can count at least five heads on desks. I mean, they're just not that excited to read Shakespeare, and especially something written so many years ago, over 400 years ago. And yet, for those who are willing to learn, for those who have an anticipation of Shakespeare, for those who know that they're going to be stepping into something great, they are excited. And I find folks' spiritual lives to have that same anticipation, that same excitement, or possibly the same head on the pew in front of them once we get within our messages. You just never exactly know what you're going to get. Now, we always claim that if we see someone sleeping on us, they are just exceptionally tired and had worked very, very hard. It had nothing to do with how boring our sermon was. But sometimes in our lives, it may be easy to become spiritually bored. Sometimes we work physically, and we forget the spiritual side. Or sometimes we may focus on that so hard and so steadily that instead of sometimes increasing our fervor and love and excitement, sometimes we get a little dry in our spiritual life. You know, what can we do? What can we do to keep ourselves alive in Christ? Well, I am going to suggest that we use some reading strategies that I'm going to be recommending to my granddaughter. To stay connected to God, we have to be actively involved, don't we? We have to be more than just hearers. And that's easy to do, especially in the age of television. You sit and you watch and you just take it in. And then you walk away and you try to tell someone what you watched and you can't recall it all. Well, that could be because one, we need to connect with whatever we're really listening to, whether it's to the Holy Spirit, whether it's to the scripture, whether it's to the message. We need to connect to it, to our own lives. We need to possibly do some predicting. Can we predict what's going to happen next? Where do we think God is going to take us in the next step? Do we choose to summarize what we've seen or what we've heard? Do we question? Do we monitor the sources of what we've heard and where it's coming from? Are we willing to question it? And do we use and allow God to use our imagination and inference to see what are maybe some of the that God is trying to teach us through this lesson? And another final strategy we can use, that we use in reading, we can use in listening, we can apply to our spiritual lives, is to then apply it. is then to actively apply it. If all we do is sit and listen and listen and listen without ever taking action, sometimes we get tired of just listening. We say, I've maybe heard enough. Please, Paul and Cheryl, not one more sermon. So the problem isn't the word, is it? It isn't God. He's not the problem. The Holy Spirit isn't the problem. We need to watch how we are receiving and what we can do to keep what we are receiving a part of our lives. God's word was meant to be acted upon. So if we just sit and listen, and if we just sit and gather more information without acting on it, sometimes we become oversaturated, and in becoming oversaturated, we become bored with it. It's just more information.
If this describes you, it is likely that you're tired of hearing the same old word over and over again. You probably wish someone would come along to preach or teach you something that you've never heard before. You might even find yourself roaming from church to church, seeking someone or something to spice up your spiritual life. However, the problem is not the church. Hopefully it's not your pastors or the kind of preaching that you're hearing. Maybe the problem lies within you. You're bored because you're not doing the word that you've heard preached. Let me tell you the truth. If you will simply do what you've already been told to do, you won't have time to be bored. Applying the word you already know will necessitate that you have a serious prayer life. It will require you to be disciplined. It will demand that you learn to crucify your flesh. In fact, walking in this kind of obedience that God expects of you will take every ounce of your focus. You'll be so busy trying to obey what you've already heard preached that you'll never have a moment to be bored. And this is why James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us, "But be ye doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving your own selves." Notice especially the words "hearers only" in the verse above. These words are taken from the Greek word akrotis, which was used in classical Greek times to describe people who audited class rather than taking it for credit. In other words, these people didn't attend the class to receive credit for the course. They're simply there to hear the lecture. Think about what was taught, and then later discuss it with their friends. But they had no intention of actually applying what they heard.
Kind of rather reminds me of annual conference. Each year, Paul and I go, and we have opportunities to do these breakout sessions that last, a good hour. And you can do at least two, if not three, a day. So if you're there 3 days, then you go to at least nine of them. Paul and I, being good teachers, we like to think of ourselves that way, also choose to be good students, which means we take copious notes. So we'll take notes and notes and notes and notes and notes. But I tell you what, after 3 or 4 days of this and then a long journey home, you forget what you heard. And it's sort of like, well, which one did you go to? So then we have to review those notes. We have to then prioritize those notes, evaluate what would you as our congregants learn most from. And that's a part of applying what you hear. As you listen to the word of God, as you listen to God's voice, I hope that you take notes. I hope sometimes you journal so you have opportunity to go back and to assimilate and then to share what you have learned. And I think sort of social media has become the new journaling. We see people journaling all the time or writing down their thoughts or their feelings on social media. It's sort of a recording. And it's one way of assimilating. It's one way of going back and seeing, has growth been made? Is this something someone else can learn from? So it becomes a real sharing experience. So we have to be careful not to be hearers only. Otherwise, one, we forget what we've heard. Number two, we haven't assimilated. If we haven't assimilated, we can't apply it and we certainly can't share it. There's a story about an elderly woman. Now, maybe you can relate to this elderly woman. Maybe it's a Aunt Lucy in your life. Now, she was married to a former pastor, as the story goes. And when he died, she moved in with her son and daughter-in-law because she didn't want to live out on that big old farm, probably a big old farm like Paul's dad lives on. Didn't want to live out there alone. Well, what she did for entertainment, for personal intelligence, and for stimulating her mind and her heart and her social being, was she would go to churches and she would see what services were there. And she would go to everything. Anytime that door was open, you could count on Aunt Lucy being there. It didn't matter if it was a wedding or funeral. It didn't matter if she was invited or not. She showed up. Because that was part of her assimilation. That was part of her having information to share with others. So maybe you can think of someone who's like that today. And I'm probably guessing that especially of some of those families said, who's Aunt Lucy? Is she on your side of the family? Who knows? But we know that there are those who enjoy just going and gathering and assimilating.
And that older lady was my great-grandmother, Elizabeth Urey, who did go from church to church. She went to every wedding she could find, every funeral she could find, whether she knew him or not. She was there, by golly. Well, James chapter 1, verse 22, conveys this idea. Don't be like those who attend meetings and listen to sermons for the sole purpose of being with the crowd or of gathering information that makes them look smart in other people's eyes. Since this is a background to the phrase "hearers only" used in James 1:22, we must take a good look at ourselves and ask, number one, am I serious about the Word of God and its application in my life? Number two, or am I simply an auditor who has no intention of doing the Word? Number three, am I doing something with that Word I've heard preached? Or am I among those who hear the word that do not act on what they hear? For does God consider me to be a hearer or a doer of the word? The fact is that many people attend church regularly. They go to special meetings. They read books, they listen to teaching tapes, and they watch nonstop Christian television. They've seen a lot. They've heard a lot. And they really do know a lot, yet they do nothing with what they have heard. That's why they eventually become bored with their spiritual matters. They have not acted on what they've heard or put into practice. The information they've gathered, they've become oversaturated and spiritually numb.
So we need to be careful that we don't allow this to happen to us. What I will tell you, though, is what I'm loving hearing from you is how many of you are getting into some of your spiritually rich books and into Scripture again. In essence, it's something you read before. It's something you studied before, but it was years ago. And so now you are delving back into the scripture, back into those books, and allowing your heart to relive those, because we all enter new phases of in our life. And so they were excitedly sharing with me what they were learning new from a book they'd studied before, because they were in a new phase. We can allow our hearts to be rich. We can allow our spirit lives to be rich. And I encourage you to use these skills of connecting. Connect with what you hear, with what you read. Do some predicting. Do some questioning. Summarize what you've heard. And then let your imagination go and allow the Holy Spirit to move you maybe in a direction you've never moved before, or see a truth that maybe you've never seen before. We can be sure of one thing: if we are obedient to the Word of God, if we are obedient to His scriptures, to His truths, we will never be bored. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.